Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. I'm going to be taking you through the next hour, looking back at all the Week 7 games that happened yesterday, and we'll preview Monday Night Football as well, as the New York Giants look to get off the schneid down there in the dirty, dirty, going down there to the Georgia Dome to take on the Falcons. We'll break that one down at the end of the show, but it is Dane Martinez, the spitting statistician, and the King, Scott Engel here. Scotty, how you doing on a Monday? We're still waiting for Scott. That's all right. So here's what we're going to do. Before we dive in and continue the games that we are talking about, I want to reset some of the headlines, some of the injuries that took place in Week 7. If you're listening to us live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on a new hour, also want to let you know that the number to call if you want to join us as we put the fun in functional sports radio is 844-843-6879. Bilal Powell left the Jets game with a neck injury. All right, Shady McCoy is being treated, is in the protocol, it looks like, left with a head injury, really hurting fantasy owners after only two carries, you know, getting banged up and missing the rest of the game in a game where, you know, the Indianapolis Colts dump trucked the Buffalo Bills 37-5. Other injuries that I want to talk about right now, as you know, I've been high on Sony Michel, the stereotype, for a couple of weeks. It looked like he had a bad injury, was helped off the field, carted to the locker room. Remember, he has a history of knee injuries as well, so we'll keep an eye out on that. That is something where we'll keep an eye out because, listen, James White may take a lot more of the load. Kenyon Barner is there as well. But as my man Scotty Engel said last hour, it would not surprise him if the New England Patriots, right before the trade deadline, make a little bit of a move to try to, you know, add depth there to that running back position. This is if, of course, Sony Michel is going to miss time. We will see about that as MRIs start to get happening on Monday. I also want to let people know that if you are, you know, struggling in your league and you want to start to bounce back, what you need to do is go to rotoexperts.com and get the exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package. Enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. So here's what I want to do.
Okay.
Hey, Scotty, we got Scotty back as well. Yeah. Fantastic. Scotty, you know, I just gave a little bit of a recap of some of the big injuries that took place. You know, Shady McCoy, Sony Michel. And interestingly enough, Scott, as we reset these injuries, I already look ahead to Week 8. Thursday Night Football is Texans and Dolphins. And Scotty, on the Dolphins side, Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills banged up. On the Texans side, and what you said last hour is more important, Kiki QT gets a hamstring. And then listen, Bill O'Brien is admitting that Deshaun Watson is not right. They're admitting it so much that they were not wanting to risk Deshaun Watson on a plane going to Jacksonville. They bust them there to Jacksonville. Issues of a bruised lung. I heard our girl Virginia from Inside Injuries even say potentially a puncture long on our Friday telecast. Still a lot of concern with Deshaun Watson, but now they're 4-3 and in first place.
Yeah, I'm not a medical expert. I don't know how anybody can play with a punctured lung. But hey,
if it's bad enough that they won't put you on a plane, that they're going to make you bus it from Houston to Jacksonville, that means there is a real level of concern.
Oh yeah, of course, obviously. But you know, we're just not medical people. We don't know, you know, what guys can play with, what they can't play with. You know, why would they put their franchise quarterback at such major risk? We're just looking at this as outside layman, you know, from a medical perspective. But yeah. Right now, Deshaun Watson, you can't start him in fantasy football at all. From a pure NFL perspective, they'll give the Texans a lot of credit. You know, despite that, they've rebounded to from an 0-3 start to win 4 in a row and take over the division lead.
They are 4-3. They are leading the division. We will see about Deshaun Watson. You mentioned like you're not a medical person, right? So why would they? We think why would they do that? And sometimes the NFL teams put him out there. But there's also why would the Vikings put Dalvin Cook out there? They did, and it's turned into a problem. Why would the Jacksonville Jaguars put Leonard Fournette out there? They did too early. It turned out to be a problem. Why would the Falcons put Devontae Freeman out there? It turns out they did. It turned out to be a problem. So we shall see. Scotty, we were talking about the Patriots and the Bears before we ended the last hour on Roto Experts in the Morning. And again, I want to let people know, on Monday and Wednesday, we don't have Mike Blewett in the chair. It's Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. We take 2 hours to go through everything that happened on Sunday, and we continue to do so now, Scotty. This Patriots-Bears game, we talked about the Hail Mary, which Kevin White did actually catch. We talked about the injury, unfortunately, to Sony Michel, and how you think the Patriots may go into the marketplace to try to find someone, because Kenyon Barner is probably not necessarily the answer. The Patriots also announced early in the morning that Rob Gronkowski was out for this game, and you know, Josh Gordon picks up the slack. Gordon, 4 catches, 100 yards. Hogan gets back involved now with no Gronk, 6 for 63. Julian Edelman involved. James White involved as well. Still a lot of options for TB12 to throw to. He winds up with 3 touchdowns, 277 yards in the air.
Yeah, it looks like early reports are indicating that Gronk is going to be back next week. So think about that before you go out and pick up a revived Chris Hogan there. And as far as the running back situation goes, yeah, you know, we laid it out, you know, also, you know, on a previous show, is that Kenyon Barner is just a journeyman scat back. They can't expect anything from him. We have to wait and see on Sony Michel. We just don't know either way. Although it looks bad, you know, that's still from the naked eye. We can't tell anything. And if it is a long-term thing, unfortunately, I would have to see the Patriots go out and maybe acquire another running back here, because they can't depend on James White to carry the load.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, let me ask you something, Scotty. You know, going into the season, we always had the narrative that some of these teams that had a lot of new pieces or a new scheme might take time to gel, right? We've always talked about that. It may take time for offenses to gel. I also know going into the season, one guy I was high on was the Chicago tight end, Trey Burton. I thought that they were eventually wanting to use him in the same role as like Travis Kelce in this Matt Nagy scheme. They wound up investing money on him in the offseason. I think it was 4 years, $32 million, which was, you know, maybe above the market, what many people thought Burton was going to get in free agency. Can I spin the narrative, Scott, that you might buy that this is what's happening now? The Bears are starting to get a sense of their offense. They're starting to gel. Their playmakers are starting to understand their roles. And maybe now Trey Burton is going to be a tight end one moving forward. 9 catches, 126 yards. He gets in the end zone again. He's the arrow is certainly pointing up on Trey Burton, Scott. Maybe he's just him and Trubisky are just getting comfortable and confident in the scheme. You've mentioned that you think Trubisky's arrow is pointing up. Can we say the same thing for Trey Burton?
Well, Trey Burton's touchdown dependent, but he's still getting it done. You know, this was
9 for 126, even without the touchdown.
Yeah, but look at the game log before that, though. You know, this was easily his best game yardage-wise. You know, he scored in 4 of his past 5 games, though. So, you know, that puts him as a back-end tight end one right now. You know, whenever they get near the goal line stripe, they're looking for Trey Burton, and it's consistent. You know, the yardage you'll take as a bonus when you can get it, and you saw more of it yesterday, so the arrow is certainly pointing up. I think I need to be sold a little bit more on the yardage and reception part of it, you know, that he can do this more frequently, but it's definitely pointing in the right direction from an offensive perspective, from pure NFL perspective. You know, Trubisky still does have some warts that were exposed yesterday. He had 24 incompletions and 2 interceptions.
All right, so there you have it on that side. We talked about New England already. Both of those teams still in the mix. Obviously, the Patriots at 5-2 right now with the number 2 seed in the AFC, and the Bears at 3-3. Listen, in that NFC North where the Vikings are 4-2-1, the Packers are on bye right there. And, of course, the Detroit Lions also got a win to get to 500. that division, the NFC North, is going to be interesting all season long. Let's go to another divisional matchup here. We're back down there in the AFC South. We've been talking about Deshaun Watson. We've been talking about the injuries, but let's look at this game a little bit more. The Texans get a W, 20-7. Here's what I want to ask you. I want to go to the Jacksonville side. Scotty, a lot of times, you know, about 3 weeks ago, people were telling me, oh, Blake Bortles is so good. We should use Blake Bortles 400 yards. And I was like, listen, guys, I still don't trust Blake Bortles. I still don't want part of that Jacksonville passing game. And you know what I think the biggest thing has happened since this Leonard Fournette injury? I think it stole or sapped some of their identity, Scott. And I've made this point a number of times. This Jacksonville Jaguars defense is still good, but is not elite like they were last year, okay? They took a small step back. And then when you also lose the run game piece, the way they want to run the ball, the identity they want to have is kind of punching you in the mouth with Big Leonard. This defense doesn't look as good as it has. And that also means then that they're relying a little bit more on the quarterback position, on the pass game, and Blake Bortles cannot deliver. They ultimately on Sunday, Scott, bench Blake Bortles for Cody Kessler. And I've been saying this. If what the Jags need out of their quarterback position is merely to play smart football to, like, not turn it over so that they can just run the ball and play defense, that's part of the reason I brought up, like, the Eli Manning idea, but they're going away from Blake Bortles. What do you think they do at their quarterback position here? You think it's going to be Kessler or Bortles under center the next time we see Jacksonville?
I can't make a prediction. I don't know what the coach is going to do. All we know for sure is that Blake Bortles is on very shaky ground. The reason why they got to the AFC Championship game last year was because they had Fournette, they had the defense playing at that level, and the defense wasn't completely shut down at times last year either. I think they did allow 40 points twice, but in the playoffs, everything ideally came together, as it often does in the postseason. Now they don't have Fournette, and they're asking Blake Bortles to carry the offense or shoulder a bigger load. And he's been very up and down in that regard. But, you know, Blake Bortles is who Blake Bortles is. And, you know, ultimately, you know, that's it. You know, this team might have to make a trade for the quarterback before the trading deadline. But what are they going to do? Are they going to go out and get Tyrod Taylor? You know, maybe that's an improvement. But there's really
Eli.
Nothing out there. Like I said, there's nothing that's good out there. You know, Eli Manning is nothing of an improvement at all. It's a different set of problems if you quiet
Eli
Manning.
I hear you.
You know, newspapers, et cetera. So, you know,
we're moving on.
We don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. They're talking about overhauling, you know, the offense in an entirely new way. And, you know, that could be Carlos Hyde starting. That could be shuffling around the receivers. They have injuries at tight end. There were reports that there was yelling and screaming in the locker room, and players had to be held away from each other yesterday after the game. So this whole thing, Jacksonville thing, is turning into an entire mess.
Yep, it is a mess. Maybe Leonard Fournette gets back into the fray in a couple of weeks. We shall see. On the other side of things, listen, Scotty, you're saying we can't start Deshaun Watson. Listen, another one. 50% completion percentage, completing only 12 of his 24 attempts for only 139 yards. He does get the touchdown. I want to ask you this, though. Listen, Kiki QT, 1 for 3. He leaves a little bit early. Can I ask you, though, what is the impact on guys like Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins? I'm going into this thinking if I have D-Hop in season-long leagues, I'm starting DeAndre Hopkins no matter what. If I was going to start him against Jacksonville, I'll start him anywhere, regardless of what I think about the quarterback situation. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy who's been a wide receiver one in fantasy with Brandon Wheaton, T.J. Yates, you know, Tom Savage, Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback. So it doesn't matter what happens. I'm rolling out DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Yeah, without question. Okay. Of course, Jacksonville's not a shutdown defense anymore. They've gotten outscored 60-14 in their last 2 weeks. You know, that said, we've seen this from Hopkins before. This is nothing new. This is why I've always said in the past, although there's a new kind of league this year, that you can't always that fantasy superstars are fantasy superstars because they get it done over all levels of competition. And there may be no better example of that than DeAndre Hopkins. There is always a nice floor built in there. At a high level, nobody is more dependable in fantasy football than DeAndre Hopkins. And look, Adam Thielen has done it for seven consecutive games, but DeAndre Hopkins has been doing it for years.
Yes.
So I would say that DeAndre Hopkins is probably the most, and definitely in his position, maybe arguably in all fantasy football, the best set it and forget it player that you have.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is still going to be a focal point of the offense. DeAndre Hopkins also made a beautiful one-handed catch down the left sideline, beating Jalen Ramsey for it. So here's what I want to ask you, though, Scott. Obviously, I agree with you as it relates to DeAndre Hopkins, but when we keep seeing this out of Deshaun Watson, right, and I've made the point to you before that I think the fear is that his eyes are starting to look at the rush instead of downfield, and when we also think about what parts of the route tree our guy Will Fuller runs, he did have 6 for 68 yesterday, but are you concerned at all about Will Fuller? I would be. Here's the thing. We know DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his, but if Deshaun Watson is compromised, if this passing offense can't protect Deshaun Watson, I think Will Fuller might be the guy, you know, who winds up every now and again getting like 3 for 21. Are you concerned about Will Fuller's role or his potential? I know you think DeAndre Hopkins is set it and forget it. I don't think the same could be said for Will Fuller moving forward.
When Deshaun Watson is healthy and playing at his best, Will Fuller's an every week start as a wide receiver 3. But you're right, it depends on the health of the quarterback right now. And also, the one thing with Will Fuller, it's not just about performance. The guy is always getting hurt, it seems. You know, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So you're always concerned about Will Fuller. Even if he's got a string of 3 consecutive 100-yard games with a touchdown, and, you know, there was that streak where he was just, like, going back to last year, scoring in every game that Deshaun Watson played, you still worry because some players are just more injury-prone than others.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this, though, Scotty. If the offensive line isn't there, if Deshaun Watson is completing 50% of his passes, you know, listen, Scott, I've been beating the DeAndre Foreman drum for a while. We've been, you know how everyone in this network, we all think Lamar Miller sucks, but Lamar Miller may have been listening to the Fantasy Sports Network in terms of motivation, because he goes 22 carries, 100 yards on the dot, and a touchdown. Lamar Miller kind of putting it in my collective eye. Do you think that that's something that we may see more of if they can't throw the ball and if Watson isn't efficient? You think they actually turn and hand the ball off to Lamar Miller more?
They might have to, you know, if they're worried about Deshaun Watson here, but, you know, we've seen occasionally good games from Miller before, so this is nothing to get excited about yet. Just raise an eyebrow and go, oh, that's interesting. I'm still not going to start him next week.
All right, fair enough. That's what we got to keep an eye on. Listen, Scott, we are going to break. What we got to do is we still have a couple of games to break down, okay? So we're going to talk about the afternoon games. We'll talk a little bit more about Sunday night football. We will preview Monday night football. It's an interesting game in the NFC. You know, the loser of this game tonight is pretty much done as it relates to the rest of their season, the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Giants. We'll look at that. We'll break down what we saw in the afternoon game. We'll take your calls if you want as well. The number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll have the phone lines open for the rest of the show. And Scotty, when we come back, we're going to break down Cleveland and Tampa Bay. Guess what? Cleveland looked like they were going to have a tie again. Just another Sunday for the Cleveland Browns in 2018. When we come back, we'll talk about it. Dane and Scott on Fantasy Sports Today on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. It is FST on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got the spitting statistician and El Rey de Fantasia, the King Scott Angle here, holding you down for another 35 minutes or so before we pass the baton over to Gabe Morency, the fantasy executive Corey Parson, and of course the lovely Michelle Serpico as they take you through the morning. We're going to be talking about everything that happened here in Week 7. We're going to be previewing Monday Night Football as well. But Scotty, I got to let people know. Listen, football is going on. The World Series starts tomorrow. But NBA basketball has tipped off as well. And the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com has been using for NFL premium subscribers, and you can win some money. You've heard about this. You heard about Colin Drew, who won $70K one day and $150K the next. You've heard about seven millionaires that we have made in NFL Millie Makers on FanDuel and DraftKings. I gotta also tell you, one of our subscribers, McCar11, yesterday in DFS on the NBA, turned $500 into $100,000 yesterday. We keep churning out the winners with DailyRoto.com. If you are playing DFS and are not using these tools, at this point, you're just doing it wrong. You're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount, and start winning today. Don't forget to enter the promo code FNTSY for your special discount. DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made. Literally, that's how we do it. All right, so Scotty, I was teasing it at the beginning as we went into the break. Listen, the Cleveland Browns are playing another game in overtime. Honestly, Scotty, I think they've played seven games this season, and four of them have gone to overtime. Obviously, the tie that they had, right? They went to overtime, I believe, against New Orleans and lost. They went to overtime, I believe, against the Raiders as well. And now they've gone to overtime against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Four of their seven games have gone the extra frame, but the Bucks get a W in Ray J, 26-23. The Browns 4-2, 4-1. But to your point earlier that you made in the show, listen, the youth movement is there and they have some pieces. Baker Mayfield throws for two touchdowns, right? Runs for another 43 yards. They traded Carlos Hyde because now they want to go full Chubb. And Chubb gets 80 yards and a touchdown. They have the kid David Njoku, who they like at tight end. Four catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. They have some pieces that they like, and Jarvis Landry is supposed to be the mentor there. 97 yards, and a touchdown. A very high awareness play for his touchdown as well, Scotty. He catches it, dives over the middle, knows no one touches him, and kind of like scoots in and leans the ball over for a touchdown. The Browns may be 2-4-1, but they still got some pieces, Scotty.
They certainly do, and you know, a lot of people complaining that Nick Chubb was stuck on 34 yards in the third quarter, and like, you know, stop that. You know, a fantasy football game, an NFL game is four quarters, and then he ended up with 80 yards and a touchdown, and everything worked out okay.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. You'll take the 14, 15 points, whatever you got, depending on your scoring system. Landry, was good to see him get in the end zone because for all his targets, we haven't seen him get in the end zone enough. But you don't worry about Jarvis Landry. You know, made some great catches yesterday. David Njoku is now proven that he's a start him every week tight end. He has really rebounded since they made the quarterback switch.
All right, absolutely. And then listen, Scotty, on the other side of things, I don't know how many times I had to tell people how high I was on Jameis Winston. Now, for the second week in a row, Scotty, he has the highest passing game in the NFL. 365 yards. I've been telling people that Jameis is going to put it up 45, 50 times a game because they don't have much of a running game to speak of. He goes 32 of 52 attempts, 365 yards. Now, Scotty, he doesn't get any touchdowns through the air, and he does throw two picks. But guess what? Those two interceptions are mitigated and then some by the fact that Jameis Winston was also the Buccaneers' leading rusher with 55 yards on the ground and a touchdown on the ground. Jameis Winston continuing, like we said, to be in these kind of games where they are going to rely on him. Second week in a row, he leads the NFL in passing yards since he's been back, Scott.
Yeah, and of course, the rushing floor was really nice to see.
Yeah.
We've always seen that potential from Winston. Yeah, well, we've always seen that potential, But we've never seen this at a consistent level. It would be really nice, you know, if they turned out to be these kind of numbers. And, you know, he's always shown the potential to scramble and maybe rush for touchdowns. And that's who Winston is, too. He's an NFL quarterback. You're always going to be have the danger of the interceptions. But, you know, with so much volume and rushing, like you said, it could sometimes, you know, wipe away the pain of, you know, seeing those interceptions. And it's just going to be so much volume. But look, I talked about it in Fantasy Football Today on the Sunday edition. There were so many people assuming that this was going to be a major shootout, but the Browns only scored 23. Sometimes when you see a coordinator change, you know, the defense does play better, and they played better on the back end. They didn't give up any big plays. They put up a pass rush, and the defense played well, respectably. Yes, it did play great, but it was certainly more respectable than we've seen.
It was. Most of this game, you know, think about it, at halftime it was 16-2. You know, so the Bucs were, in essence, their Bucs defense, at least, was pitching a shutout for the first half. You know, Baker got it going a little bit in the second half when the game opened up a little bit. I want to ask you about these Bucs pass catchers, Scotty. Listen, Mike Evans, you know, remember when Tampa scored something like 40-some-odd points last week and Jameis almost threw for 400 yards, people were worried about, like, oh, what about Mike Evans? And we were like, listen, he's going to get hits. He'll be just fine. 7 catches for 107 yards. You got to be okay with that. Nobody got into the end zone for the Bucs in the passing game. But listen, I think these guys are now all going to be reliable week to week. Mike Evans goes 7 for 107. O.J. Howard, 5 for 67. You got to like that. Even without a touchdown, it looks like he's going to be reliable. And our guy, Chris Godwin, who we were talking about that we were high on, I think he's a third-year guy now out of Penn State. We were saying that we thought he was primed to get more production than DeSean Jackson going into this season. Chris Godwin with 5 for 55. These three pass catchers look to be consistent moving forward for the Tampa Bay Bucs, right?
Yeah, and DeSean Jackson isn't. And Jameis Winston likes who he likes. It seems like he might like even Adam Humphries more than he does DeSean Jackson. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a DeSean Jackson guy. And
right. It
looks like Jameis Winston just prefers other targets. Chris Godwin has a pretty nice floor every week. You know, very solid wide receiver four in fantasy.
Absolutely. So you and in your league, you may be able to take advantage of another owner who just like knows the name recognition of DeSean Jackson and thinks that Chris Godwin is going to be toiling behind him. We think Chris Godwin is actually the more consistent option as the number two wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucs, obviously behind Mike Evans. Let's go to another game, Scotty. A game that I thought was very interesting, and we mentioned it at the top of the show, how almost automatic kicker Justin Tucker really kind of, this is the one time where he let his Baltimore Ravens teammates down. The New Orleans Saints get a W in Baltimore 24-23 in another game that could have, quite frankly, could have, would have, should have gone to overtime, but Justin Tucker misses the extra point with 24 seconds left to play. Joe Flacco, though, 279 yards and 2 touchdowns. Alex Collins, though, here's what I want to ask you about. Listen, Alex Collins doesn't fumble, right? But also only gets 38 yards on the ground, does not get into the end zone via the ground like he did last week, and that kind of helped him. 11 carries, 38 yards, and it's not like, listen, Scotty, Buck Allen, only 3 yards there. Willie Snead, they tried end arounds. They had Lamar Jackson in there a bunch, but this Baltimore run game is still not, you know, something to be excited about or something to depend on.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing performance. The Saints do play pretty well against the run overall. You know, it's not just the fact that they give up a lot against the pass. You know, they are sturdy up front. But you thought Alex Collins was going to get a chance to finish off some scoring drives short yardage-wise because he's very touchdown-dependent. And it just didn't happen yesterday. I like watching Alex Collins. He runs like his hair is on fire. But, you know, I just don't think they ever let him get into the flow of the game pretty consistently, you know, by constantly popping in Buck Allen.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Scotty. Going into the season, right? We were like, oh, there is a rookie quarterback that is incredibly dynamic, right, that they are going to find ways to get him the ball, whether that be as a quarterback or as a running back or in some trick plays, right? We were like, there is a rookie quarterback who is going to be so dynamic and going to create problems for defenses. If I told you there was a rookie quarterback, you know, like in the preseason in this game that was doing that, everybody would have said it was Lamar Jackson. But what about Taysom Hill? Scott, honestly, like, they are finding ways to get Taysom Hill the ball. They are doing the same thing and having, like, Drew Brees split out wide. They're doing end the rounds. They're having him throw the ball. They're having him run the ball. Is Taysom Hill actually, like, a more viable fantasy asset than Lamar Jackson right now?
But I don't think either one.
I don't know that anyone. Assets. Neither one of them are assets. Let's say that.
No, neither one of them are fantasy assets. They're fun gadget players to watch as a football fan.
Do you think there's any way, shape, or form that, like, if you were in a dynasty league, Scott, you know Drew Brees is at the end of the rope a little bit. Remember, that's why they traded for Teddy Bridgewater. Like, in a dynasty league, are you stashing Lamar Jackson or Taysom Hill?
Lamar Jackson, for sure. We don't know anything. We don't know anything about Taysom Hill as a passer. You know, he was an undrafted free agent. He's got no pedigree. We don't know what he can be as a quarterback at all.
All right, fair enough. And then, like, I look at the passing game here for New Orleans. Listen, Drew Brees, kudos to him. He gets his 500th touchdown pass. He only throws for 212, but he does get you the two touchdowns as well, right? One to Michael Thomas and one to Ben Watson. So we continue to tip our hat to the Hall of Fame quarterback that is Drew Brees. But I want to ask you, Scott, after the Ted Ginn Jr. news, right, we were wondering who's going to pick up the slack. Ben Watson with 6 catches, might he be part of this answer? But then it looked like Traquan Smith is there, 44 yards on 3 catches. No Cameron Meredith, though. So does it look like it's going to be, obviously, these running backs, Michael Thomas, maybe Ben Watson and Traquan Smith as the pass catchers?
Yeah, let's not do this Ben Watson thing again. You know, he was nowhere from, like, week 2 to week 15 last year. This is his only good game this year. Ben Watson's not a thing. Nice revenge game for him, but Ben Watson's not a thing.
But what I'm saying is this thing also coincides not only the revenge game, but it coincides to Ted Ginn Jr. not being there. So my question is, who picks up the Ted Ginn Jr. slack? In this one week that we saw, Ben Watson certainly was part of that.
Well, Ben Watson was getting catches like, you know, more of not Ted Ginn type of catches, you know, not down.
Okay.
You know, and they really weren't throwing a lot of bombs yesterday. So I don't think it's exemplary of the Ted Ginn thing. But to answer your question, though, I think it's definitely Traquan Smith. Now, look, the numbers don't look great. But when you look at the context in which he was used yesterday, he was getting used on a lot of key downs. He was getting looked at on a lot of key downs. And he showed the game before that he's got downfield targets. It's all about Traquan Smith, I think, if anyone. Otherwise, you know, it could go back to just being, you know, a ton of Michael Thomas. But, you know, Ben Watson, you know, not in the mix as far as at all is what I'm concerned. You know, I'm not going to react to one game on Ben Watson. Very, very skeptical on it. If I turn out to be wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Traquan Smith is definitely going to be a guy that you got to pick up.
All right, and then let's talk about this running back split. Because a lot of people, listen, have Alvin Kamara. A lot of people have been going to, you know, strong records because they had Alvin Kamara early in the season. Kamara gets 19 touches here. Ingram gets 14 touches. Kamara still does make the most of them, and he's the one that gets into the end zone. But honestly, is this the kind of split that we should expect to see moving forward? Because we've talked about this with other backs, right? We talked about it with a potential split in New England. We talked about it with what the split might look like in other places. We're trying to anticipate what a split could potentially look like down the road with Pittsburgh, with Lev Bell coming back. Is this the split we should expect to see with Kamara and Ingram moving forward? And what does that mean for people who have been relying on Alvin Kamara since week 1?
I think it is what you saw last year, pretty much, and it's no surprise. Although there might be a little bit more downside, though, for both of them. Disappointing performance for Ingram yesterday. And I think, although you can't complain about the final totals, Alvin Kamara has moved from a guy that where people wanted to draft him in the top 3 and he had a great 4 first weeks while Ingram was suspended to maybe now where he's more of a back-end RB1. Now, when you look at him as a pure runner, the vision, the acceleration, the strength, it's wonderful to watch Alvin Kamara, one of my favorite guys to watch in all of football. but his reps are going to be more limited, and I just don't think that he can have that type of, you know, just the yards per carry and the yards per touch that he did last year. It's not sustainable. And, you know, this is a different type of offense where they're going to throw more, I think. And they're still going to rely on the run, but the defense very often is going to continue to cause them to throw a lot. Now, that does help Kamara, but, you know, when drives get in the red zone, when I was watching the flow of this game, and I watched so much of it, you never know on any given drive who's going to be in the goal line package. It really depends on it's the hot hand. Like late in the game, Kamara got hot. They left him in the goal line, but they took him out in other goal line packages. It's going to be different levels of frustration. I think it's for Kamara. Ultimately, you can't complain about the floor, but there are weeks when he's not going to look like that fantasy superstar. And with Engram, there are going to be weeks like last week, and there are going to be weeks like this week.
Yeah, absolutely. But in season long, we're still starting both Kamara and Engram with confidence on a week-to-week basis, right, Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, you can't bench Kamara, obviously.
It's, no, absolutely.
You know,
I was asking more about Engram, though.
It gets dicey when you get past number eight, so you got to start Engram, too.
All right, fair enough. And listen, I've been making the point about the Chargers. Don't look now, but the Chargers are primed and ready in the AFC. Don't look now, but the Saints are 5-1 in the NFC. Everybody loves the Rams. But listen, you know, the NFC East are beating each other up. The NFC North are beating each other up. We know about the Rams, but the Saints could also be a team in prime position. And if they get some home playoff games, no one's going to want to go down to the Dome in January. I also think, by the way, Scotty, watch out now. And I know it's early and there's some other names in there, but I think Drew Brees should start to get MVP consideration this year as well. What do you think about that hot take? Drew Brees, potential MVP candidate this year.
Yeah, I think so. And there's going to be a lot of sentiment going his way with him all the records,
exactly.
Et cetera. Exactly. But I think it's going to be, you know, when you look at least the NFC, I think it's going to be very hard to argue against Todd Gurley. You know, the quarterback is usually the one that wins the MVP. I think the last non-MVP, non-quarterback MVP was Sean Alexander. But I think right now he would probably be fourth. It'd be Gurley, Brady, Mahomes, all ahead of him, I think.
Yep, that's possible. Don't get it twisted, though. This kind of sentimental bet, I think, could go in there. And listen, if the Saints are now 5-1, if they wind up 12-4, like the 2 seed with a bye in the NFC, I could see the sentimental vote in a year where he breaks all these records, gets his 500th yard. And it's not like, you know, he would be a bad choice, let's say. We got one segment.
Yeah, but if the Rams are 14-2, girl, the 1 seed, Gurley's going to win it.
We shall see. Like you said, it has kind of been a quarterback award, but we'll get into that on the other side of the break. We got a couple games to break down, including those Rams, and we'll talk about Monday Night Football as well. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. It is FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got the spitting statistician and El Rey de Fantasia breaking down what we saw in Week 7. We got a couple more games to talk about, then we'll spin it forward to Monday Night Football here as the Falcons and Giants finish up Week 7 and we hit the halfway point of the fantasy football season. But we have a caller. There's someone that wants to help us as we put the fun in functional sports radio. D-Money from New Jersey. You're on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with the king of the spitting statistician. How can we help you? You got some questions for tonight?
What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Scott, you doing another hour, man? I don't believe it, bro. Good.
Yeah, Mondays and Wednesdays. I get the bonus of another hour, my friend here, Dane.
Yeah, he's in for Blewett.
Absolutely, absolutely. You got him here Mondays and Wednesdays, so you could call on back on Wednesday. But we got you now, so how can we help you, D-Money?
Hey, guys, I'm looking to do a trade with some guys out there, but I think I'm pretty good right now. What do you guys think? You think I should I got Marshawn Lynch, Haynes, and Crowell, and Quincy. I'm thinking about unloading. For some guys.
You can't unload Marshawn. The guys you mentioned, you can't unload right. Any of them. They have no trade value.
Like, you're trying to unload them, but guess what? There's no manager out there that's trying to take them. You know, sure, you're trying to unload them. But you're saying, like, you also said, D-Money, that, like, you're doing pretty good, right? So it sounds like you may be trying to trade just to trade. I understand you want to cast aside the dregs of your roster, but who the hell is going to trade for Marshawn Lynch right now that's hurt? Who the hell is going to trade for Quincy Enunwa that's hurt right now? You got to, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the other manager as well, bro.
Yeah, that's true. I got Mike Evans as my wide receiver, Mike Thomas, Brown, and Callaway, and Kirk. So
that sounds great at wideout. Sounds like you're stacked at wideout. If anything, you might want to trade from that position of strength to improve another position. But that's the thing. You have to have an objective when you trade. My man Scott Engel says it all the time, D-Money. The thing is, like, what are you trying to get out of it? I understand that what you're trying to get out of it right now is it sounds like to improve the depth or the bench parts of your roster. But you may have to do that via the waiver wire instead of via trade. Because who's going to be trading for Marshawn Lynch when there's reports that he's already out for a month? He might end up on IR. No one's taking that kind of asset on right now.
Yeah, and Lynch goes on IR soon, you'll just have to cut him. And you stay ahead of the curve. I'm always talking about on rotoexperts.com when I do my advanced scout every Monday about what running backs to pick up and stash. I think, you know, my next one might be Capri Bibbs, because not only did he perform pretty well yesterday, but if Adrian Peterson, who's playing really well, continues to get banged up and he goes out, they're going to turn to Bibbs out of desperation over Samaje Perine. So if Marshawn Lynch goes on IR, you know, I would cut him and pick up Capri Bibbs.
Yeah, I got an opponent coming up tonight for the Monday night game. I got Tevin Coleman going up against C. Radley. I'm up 126-90. What do you guys think?
I think there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I think you're going to be just fine unless Calvin Ridley winds up with one of those crazy three-touchdown games, but I don't expect it to happen. I think you're going to be just fine, D-Money. Hit us up a little bit later on in the week, and we'll help set that lineup for you next week, all right? Thanks for the call, though. Scotty, let's keep it moving here. No problem. Let's keep it moving because we only got a couple minutes before we got to turn it over to Carton and Friends a little bit later on. Scotty, you were mentioning Capri Bibbs, and that brings us to the last game we really need to, or one of the last games to talk about. The Washington football team gets a W. They are in first place in the NFC East at 4-2 after beating the Cowboys 20-17. Honestly, Scott, though, I don't know what I believe in this on this roster. You talk about Capri Bibbs, and I can hear you with Adrian Peterson being banged up, but Might Chris Thompson come back and complicate that thing as well?
They're going to need somebody to carry the ball if Adrian Peterson goes down, and that can't be Chris Thompson. Capri Bibbs is versatile. You know, he's 5'11", 208. And Samaje Perine, as soon as I saw him get in the game yesterday, he lost 5 yards. So I think they don't trust Samaje Perine whatsoever. You know, it's like, I'll throw something wild out there, okay, crazy. If Sony Michel is out for a while, I would not be surprised if, like, say, maybe the Patriots trade for Samaje Perine as a reclamation project.
Interesting. Capri Bibbs, guy that Scotty is talking about. Only 2 carries because
totally
Adrian
off
Peterson
the wall, but I
want to
throw it out there.
Okay, did carry the load for 24 carries, 99 yards. Capri Bibbs only 2 for 13. Was a force in the pass game, though, 43 yards and a touchdown in the air. On the other side of things, Scotty, what's up with Zeke Elliott? 15 carries, 33 yards, didn't do much in a game where they needed him.
Just a bad game for a very good player. It happens once in a while. I think anybody with half a fantasy brain, you know, is not going to worry about Ezekiel Elliott. But then again, you never know who plays in your league. If you find a panicky Elliott owner, go ahead and make a deal for him right now. No better time than the present. you know, certainly got a lot of looks in the passing game, just didn't convert. You know, dropped a pass, you know, right in his chest in the end zone. Elliott'll be just fine. I'm not worried about him. And the Bibbs thing is, it's no discredit to Adrian Peterson. In fact, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he's always tried to prove people wrong. Remember when he shredded his knee a few years ago and ran for 2,000 yards? Yep. Adrian Peterson is not quite the runner that he was in his prime, right? Doesn't run with the same authority and power, but he's still got great vision. He makes people miss, and he's good near the goal line. He's no longer a superstar, but still a very good running back. And he just became the third running back age 33 or older to rush for over 95 yards or more in four of his first six games. So I think after last year, we were thinking all that Adrian Peterson, you know, that we can't trust him anymore, and we're waiting for him to flame out. But I think he's proven that he's for real, no longer as a superstar, but, you know, as a very reliable piece.
Yeah, absolutely. If you say he's not what he once was one of the greatest running backs in NFL history for a span there, right? So if he could still not be that and still be viable, and it looks like that's what the Washington football team is getting for as long as it lasts. Scotty, we have more to get to, so we got to keep it moving here. The Rams go to 7-0 on the season with a 39-10 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. We were talking about potential MVP candidates in Los Angeles. I personally believe that they'll kind of like split the vote a little bit, but I digress. We don't need to get into that just much. Todd Gurley scores two touchdowns. Jared Goff throws for two touchdowns, one to Brandon Cooks, one to Todd Gurley himself. Here's what I want to ask you, though. On the other side of things, on San Francisco's side, there was the talk about, oh, Mostert is this waiver wire pickup. But then Shanahan said, oh, maybe he didn't hop over Alfred Morris. Look at this running back, literally committee, Scott, and I use the word committee on purpose because there is more than two. Raheem Mostert, 7 carries, 59 yards. Alfred Morris, 9 carries for 25 yards. Matt Breida, who got banged up a little bit, 5 carries for 15 yards. Help me make sense out of this. What do I do when the San Francisco 49ers are playing the Arizona Cardinals next week? What do I expect out of these San Francisco running backs, Scott?
First, check the injury report because Breida left the game again. So
that's what I'm saying.
When Breed is in there, I still think he's still the lead guy. As far as Mostert not being in the mix, well, you know, they say when coaches are lying, their lips are moving. And, you know, on the other side, it is what it is. This is what championship teams do. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat in this sort of fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. Even I know we don't talk kickers, but Greg Zuerlein gets back in there as well. He makes 3 field goals and 4 extra points. You know, nice offense to have the kicker of. Good to see Zuerlein back. He hits 3 field goals as well, a 35-yarder, a 37-yarder, and a 33-yarder. But you know he has the leg to do even more. So this,
hey,
the Rams
we do
rolling.
Talk kickers, and it's good to see him back. Because a lot of people don't pay enough attention to kickers, and that's one of the names that they just plug in and forget it. People act like every kicker is just like the draft is just plug it and forget it, but Zuerlein is a true plug and forget it. I think there's about maybe 3 of those when you talk about fantasy kickers.
All right, hopefully I grabbed one of the ones that you consider as well off my waiver wire. I got Matt Prater on the Detroit Lions, and he had a very nice game. A lot of field goals, including a 50-yarder for that Jim Bob Cooter offense, and they go back in the dome, and he has had his bye, so I do not intend to make a kicker move for the rest of the season. Scotty, only a couple of minutes. We have to talk about Monday Night Football. The Giants are down in Atlanta. The Falcons are 4-point favorites in this one with a total of 54. Let's start there. Scotty, listen, we've been attacking this Atlanta defense because of their back, you know, their replacement safeties. Deion James is not there anymore. Is it Deion Jones? I always forget them. I always forget which one it is.
Deion James is a baseball player.
Right. So does that mean, Scotty, listen, with that coverage linebacker out, those safeties out, are we looking at Evan Ingram tonight? Are we thinking Odell Beckham finally gets a big game tonight? What do we think about this Giants offense, which looks putrid, which looks quite frankly like Eli Manning is shot, and that it's nothing but Saquon Barkley? Will the Falcons back end and their injury-riddled back end all of a sudden make Eli Manning look competent again tonight?
I think Jim Day put it best on Fantasy Football Rewind. You never know until the first series what kind of Eli Manning you're going to get tonight. Now, no team other than the Buccaneers allows more fantasy points to quarterbacks than the Falcons, but you can't start Eli with confidence in any matchup. Of course you start Beckham. Of course you started Barkley. Sterling Shepard, you don't know. Evan Ingram, you know, the Falcons get creamed by tight ends. So you got to start all of those guys, but at the same time, you know, they're a little volatile. You know, Odell Beckham hasn't been putting up the numbers that we expect, although he could have his best game of the season tonight. You know what Saquon's going to do. You hope Evan Ingram's going to – all signs point to being healthy. But outside of Saquon Barkley, you just don't know if there's any ceiling with anybody on the Giants.
Who's going to lead this running back timeshare now for Atlanta? You got Tevin Coleman, who, as we've said, has not really run that well and grabbed the opportunity. And I know, Scott, you have been kind of sneakily high on Ito Smith, telling everybody that he needs to be on people's radar. Who's the back to own for Atlanta tonight?
It's really a work in progress, and we have to see. Tevin Coleman has run with the opportunity, and neither is Ito Smith with 63 rushing yards in the last two games. That said, if either one of these guys, if they can suddenly take advantage of it, I think they'll take the lead fantasy-wise, and I'd probably have more confidence that maybe Ito Smith can do that.
All right, so if you know, this could be, it sounds like you're saying, Scott, the window could be closing to buy low on Ito Smith. This may be when he announces himself to the NFL. Is that correct?
He's got the opportunity. I can't have confidence in either running back that they could lead to production here, though. We could be talking about, you know, we see it more in Tampa Bay, more to an extreme. This could just be a mediocre backfield where both of them are just finishing off scoring drives and the team relies on the pass. Just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean that either one can take advantage.
All right, let's real quick. You got a pick here. Falcons are at home. They're 4-point favorites. Do they continue the horrible season for the Giants tonight? Real quick, Scotty, what do you think?
Lay the points with Atlanta.
Yeah, I like Atlanta as well. Carton and Friends is up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Scott. Have a great day, fantasy players. We out.
You too, bro.